Morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, and it's a spiritual gift that has been given to me by God for your benefit and for your use, for your blessing. And I salute today the deacons of Barah Ministries in the opening moments of this lesson for fulfilling their office with distinction. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." In our deacons, we have a humble group of servants who know how to put the needs of others before their own needs. Thank you, men, for your loyal weekly service. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me the privilege of leadership, of telling unbelievers the good news of the gospel message concerning God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to tell them about the saving work that he did on the cross on their behalf. Acts chapter 2, verse 21 says, "It shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved." The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher also affords me the privilege of providing believers in Christ with a place to hear the Word of God accurately taught so that they might use its truths to handle the circumstances of their lives, whether in tribulation or in rejoicing, or in that special time when we walk through our very own death-shadowed valley to be face-to-face with the Lord forever. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8 say this, "If any of you lacks wisdom," and of course we do, first-class condition if in the Greek, "let him keep on asking of God the Father for wisdom in prayer. And the Father, who gives to all generously and without reproach, will give wisdom to him." James 1:6, "But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Doubting creates instability in the soul. One thing we must never do if we're to be spiritual is to underestimate the importance of Christ. We must never doubt the Messiah, the Lord. We must never doubt who he is. And he is the one whom we gather here to worship. And he is the one and only sovereign God. What is the most important decision of our lives? Matthew 22:42 tells us, "What do you think about the Christ?" What do you think about the Messiah? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or not? The Lord knows how important it is for us to see him, and so he made himself visible so that we could behold him. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "The Word, God the Son, the Lord, became flesh, Jesus Christ, true humanity, and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the uniquely born one from God the Father, full of grace and full of truth." And when we behold the Lord Jesus Christ, what we will behold is grace and truth, compassion toward our mistakes, and truth to correct the situation. He keeps on making himself visible today in our souls so that the eyes of our soul can clearly see him. Bible study is a time for the refreshment that comes from renewing our thoughts. It's a time to reinvigorate our souls and to nourish our senses. It's a time to turn our bodies over to God as living and holy sacrifices. It's a time to see God with the eyes of our souls. It's a time to allow God the Holy Spirit to lead us into the truths of the Word of God so that we can learn how to be a reflection of our Savior's thoughts to a lost and dying world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "Don't be conformed to this world, Don't let the thoughts of this world change you. Instead, keep on being transformed by God and the renewing of your mind. That's why we come here, so that you may prove what the will of God is. What is the will of God? That which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect. Bible study encourages you to turn away from the world's viewpoint and to adopt God's viewpoint. Taking God's attitude into the world is a powerful influence. Welcome to a place where God the Holy Spirit prepares you to, in humility, receive the Word of God implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, let's worship the Lord in song. The opening song is "You Don't Have to Beg."
Taken from you.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Guide us with your wisdom. Lead us to the destiny you have planned for us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1, prayer is for guidance. Prayer is for guidance. We begin with a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next Lord's Supper celebration is December 15th, 2013. That's a little departure from our normal second Sunday of the month. This is the third Sunday of the month because we won't be here on December 8th. Mark your calendar. Deacon Caleb Auburn will deliver the Lord's Supper message that day, right? You're not going to be away gambling or anything like that? All right, good. Did you get that all out of your system? That's awesome. You're going to hell. No, you know that that's not true because you have eternal security. Mark your calendars. No face-to-face Bible study December 8th and December 29th. December 8th, you'll get lessons. December 29th is time off for everyone. Available free of charge from Barah Ministries, video lessons on the website, audio lessons on the website. I understand we're having some difficulty with the podcasts, so we got to find out what that is. Sometimes that is funny characters in the titles of our lessons, so we got to go through the lessons and make sure there are no funky characters in there, because that might be hindering it. But Caleb, if you connect with Mark this week and figure out what's going on, because people are having difficulty with that. I think there's an issue with Pal Talk as well, Elliot. So we need to work that out, because I think some people have been trying to contribute and we're on limited. Something's going on with Pal Talk. PayPal. Yeah, not Pal Talk. Pal Talk is awesome. PayPal, we got a problem. Pastor's notes are also on the website. Podcasts are available. We have an Android app and some progress on the iPhone app coming up. CDs upon request and Bibles upon request. So those are some of the things that are available free of charge to people who come to Barah Ministries. Some happy birthdays to Janice West. We missed her birthday on November 10th. Happy birthday, Janice. She's 65 years old. You know, I swear you look amazing for 65 years old. She's not really. Beth McLaughlin's birthday is today, a very valued member of our soon-to-be resident congregation, freezing her tail off out in Pennsylvania, so hi to Beth. Deacon Elliot Clark's birthday is this week. That's the last time we're hearing that, thank God. Kyle Pinkington's birthday, November 20th. Awesome, huh? You get him anything?
Yeah.
Like what? Is something cool, or did you get underwear? He doesn't want any underwear. I just want to tell you that. Oh, that's okay. All right. Money for software, I like that. Pat Collins' birthday, November 20th. Did anybody send you money for software? Send Pat some money for software immediately. And Heather Baer, also out in New Jersey, Pennsylvania area. Her birthday's coming up November 21st. That's also the birthday of my younger brother, Gregory. And Jennifer Brumbach, November 27th, coming up. Happy birthday, Hennifer. And Barah Ministries is streamed live Sundays on Pal Talk. I got an email from some folks this week who are saying, I'm hungry. Two lessons instead of three. I'm hungry. Well, fantastic. Go to Pal Talk. And here's what happens when you go to Pal Talk. If you sign on to Pal Talk at paltalk.com and download the software and choose a nickname and sign into the Barah Ministries room and listen, what happens is that there is a replay of Barah Ministries lessons Monday through Friday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And so if you want food all week, which you should want all week, a great way to get it is to hear a replay of the lessons, Sunday lessons. That's two, and then three other lessons playing. Larry Collins is coordinating that, and I don't think anybody is taking advantage of it. It gives you a fixed time to go get a lesson. And in our busy workaday schedule, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, man, I want to study again, and we don't. Well, this gives you a fixed time to do it, and an easy way to do it, and you should be listening to each of the lessons 3 times anyway, because every time you listen to it, you'll get something different from it. So Pal Talk is a great way to do that. Our new home is the Hilton Chandler, 2929 West Fry in Chandler. Our phone number is 480-899-7400. Check the website front page for meeting times and meeting details at barahministries.com. Any contributions, if you'd like to make contributions on a regular basis and would like to just put that on autopilot, you can do a direct payment authorization. See Deacon Elliot Clark for that. And it's an easy way to make sure that you don't have to think about your contributions every week. You can just make them. We drop the lesson at 7:45, and so eventually the early lesson will be replaced by a lesson during the week, either by GoToWebinar or live or audio only, and the calendar will indicate the dates and times of these midweek lessons. And you'll get an announcement here when they will start. They'll start after the first of the year. Now let's take the offering, and let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to do that.
Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries. And I'm kind of mad at June because she said I don't have to beg, and here I am begging. So we're a Christian church that pursues truth from the Word of God. And even though we are sanctioned by God to charge for the many things we provide so that you can worship God, we choose not to exercise our right. Therefore, no price appears on any materials from Barah Ministries so that anyone who desires biblical teaching may have it for free. Even though the materials we provide are free of charge, they are not free of cost. We appreciate it when the Word of God motivates you to provide for yourselves and for others with your contributions. I really enjoyed Deacon Elliott's Lord's Supper lesson. I don't know about anybody else, but it was a little choppy on the transitions, but the content was on point. His study and reflection led him to wonder why we take the Lord's Supper for granted and ultimately underestimate its importance. Then he talked about the visit to the veterans' home and how each one of them has an amazing story. Many of them have probably been taken for granted by the family and friends, just like we do for the Lord's Supper. The interesting aspect is the veterans in the home and the veteran on the cross are both taken for granted and undervalued. They are undervalued just like the church, Barah Ministries. People thought that there is no way that a carpenter from the Bethlehem could be the Savior. People look at elder veterans and think there is no way this frail old man parachuted behind enemy lines to liberate thousands of POWs. The same way people look at Barah Ministries and assume there is no way we could ever have real impact. They see a frail old man, but not the once courageous warrior. They see a small church at a hotel, not a generous ministry with worldwide and eternal impact. Just like those veterans were once heroes, this ministry will be a hero too, without a doubt. We have the opportunity to give, and when we probably underestimate that power as well. But when we give to this church, it becomes supernatural through God who indwells us. Just like the Lord Jesus and the many veterans, let's not take any part of God's plan for granted, both adversity and prosperity. So as we see from Scripture in Galatians 6:10, so then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are in the household of the faith. And remember, as you give as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each one must do just as purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, just like every one of you. Thank you.
Today's study, Romans chapter 1. Prayer is for guidance. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. We continue our study of prayer. In the last lesson, we started asking ourselves what prayer is for. For unbelievers, prayer is for salvation. For us, we pray for strength. We pray that we might not enter temptation, that we might not listen to temptation when it inevitably comes. That temptation that is designed to lead us astray. I think that's one of the biggest issues for believers in Christ, recognizing those times when the kingdom of darkness is offering you a temptation, offering you an offer that is designed to use you and to render you ineffective. You see, a simple offer that they can, that the kingdom of darkness can make for you is unbelief. That guy said, ask anything and believing you'll receive it. Don't believe that. And we go, oh, okay. I'm not going to believe that. And so, therefore, prayer isn't effective because your asking must be accompanied by believing. It requires something active on your part. And so we pray not to be led into temptation. We pray that during those times when we're offered the temptation to go astray from the plan of God, that we don't take it. We pray for stability in our souls for those times when things try us in such a way that we want to faint in our souls. We pray for help in times of trouble. We pray for help in times of prosperity. God, please help me, now that you've given all this to me, please help me use it effectively. Please don't let me squander it, but instead show me how to be a great steward of the blessings that you've given me. So we continue our study of prayer, and we realize that the only requirement of prayer, the only requirement, in fact, for the Christian is faith, and that is a gift from God. The only requirement of prayer is to believe, and that is the expenditure of the gift of faith that we received from God. Matthew 21, 22 says this, "And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." So I question you. I ask you to consider, how is your prayer life? Is it intentional? Is it regular? Because prayer is a key component of the Zoe life, a driving force in the Zoe life, the eternal life, the resurrection life that's given to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of salvation. Prayer, a private, intimate talk between you and God, which gives you access to divine omnipotence, the same omnipotence that sustained the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And here's the thing, if you won the lottery, what would you spend it on? You know, most people who, in fact, probably 95% of the people who win the lottery are in a worse financial position 3 years later. So what does that tell you? You know, when you're blessed beyond measure, one of the great blessings that many of us get is that God doesn't let us win the lottery. Because we'd be in a much worse position. Why? Because what is your mentality about money? Whatever the mentality that you have about money is, when you have a lot of money, you will use that mentality. And there are some people that I've known in my life that their mentality about money is sieve. The money goes into the funnel, the funnel has holes in it, and all the money runs out immediately. There's never a thought, save something. There's never a thought, invest something. There's never a thought, buy an asset with it that puts money in your pocket. It's just, be a pass-through. Get it and send it. A friend of mine told me once that if all the money in the world was divided equally, it'd be back in the same pockets 2 weeks later. And believe me, I believe that. very much that way as it relates to this. If you knew that you had divine omnipotence at your disposal, which you do, what would you do with it? What would you direct it to? Because that's what prayer is all about. It's a weapon that you have. Now, here's my question for you. Where do you direct that weapon to? Now, so far, the things that we've looked at in the matter of prayer involve us God-facing. We look at God, and, you know, last week I told you, boss God around. Boss him around. Go boldly before the throne of grace because he tells us to do that in his word. So go boss him around. But wait a minute. Do we ever stop to look? Do we ever stop to crawl up the statue in Rio to get behind the eyes of Jesus and to look out through his eyes and see how he sees prayer? What does he expect of us in the matter of prayer? See, that's a whole nother game. It's one thing for you to be facing God and you to go to him and say, hey, I need, like a teenager, I. But what about when you're looking at prayer from behind God's eyes? How does God expect you to use this phenomenal weapon? What would you use it on? What would you use this divine omnipotence on if you got it in your soul, if it really registered, if it really started to resonate in your soul, that you have the same power at your disposal that Jesus Christ had at his disposal at the cross? What would you use it on? That's the question. Prayer, which gives you access to the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, sustained him at the cross, raised him from the dead. You have that power. You have access to that power right this minute, believers in Christ. What would you use it on? You have a privilege which allows you to invoke divine power for yourself and for others in circumstances that have no human solution. What do you do when you are at the end of your human resources? What do you do in those specific circumstances where you figure it out that you can't do it? What do you do when you're face to face with the fact that you're incompetent to accomplish the very things that you dream about? What do you do then? If you were looking behind at that situation from behind God's eyes, what would he say? Pray. Make it a habit to pray. Pray incessantly. And you'd say to him, why am I going to do that? And he'd say, well, you mean other than the fact that you would have access to the same divine omnipotence that I had when I was hanging from the cross? You mean other than the fact that you would have the same power that resurrected me from the dead, other than that? Because let's face it, there are a lot of things in our lives that we feel powerless about. And most of those things that we feel powerless about relate to other people in our lives. We have people in our lives that we want for. We want things for them. We love them, and they don't want those things for themselves. And we look at them and we don't understand why they can't get it that we want these things for them. That we love them. We actually love them. You know, there are people in your life that love you today. Do you even just sit ever and just think about who loves me? If I was really down on my luck, who would I call? And would they come through for me? I mean, do you ever really think about that? Really? All right, you have a pastor. You have a pastor, right? That's me. You have pastor free of charge. That's me. But so what? There are a lot of pastors in the world. Aren't there? I mean, there are a lot of pastors teaching today. What makes me different? You don't know. You're not going to know until your ass is on the line and you call me. You're not going to know until you're desperate and then you call me. And then you get to watch. And then you'll see what kind of pastor you have. You have a pastor who's going to come through for you. It may not be on your time frame. May not be on your time frame. Why would I do that? Because God put me at your disposal. You've got a pastor that you can get to. You can actually pick up the phone and call me. How many times have you had a pastor like that in your life? You can have a meeting with me. You can have lunch with me. How many times have you had a pastor like that in your life? And believe me, if you want to know about the lunches, ask Norbert. They're not a day at the beach, right, Norbert? They're not a day at the beach. But we fence and joust and have it out. And that's kind of fun to me. Who put that at your disposal? God did. God did. Did you take advantage of it? Because every one of us comes to that time when we don't have a human solution for our problems. And at that time, you can't do it by yourself. You need other people. You don't just need God, you certainly need God, but you need other people too. And I talked about this in the last lesson, that our God is not a God, he's not a theorist. He didn't stay up in the heavenlies and look down on us and say, hey, you guys ought to do this and that. He's been tempted in every way we have, yet without sin. He came here. He tabernacled among us, and he proved that the lifestyle that he is asking us to live is livable. And then he puts people in our lives. He was the perfect version of that. He puts people in our lives, the imperfect version of that. Those people that we're expecting perfection from, he puts the imperfect version of that into our lives and says, okay, I'm coming through for you perfectly. Watch these imperfect people that I put in your lives. Watch them come through for you too. I've got you surrounded. That's who this is. That's who this group is. That's who he assembled here. He hasn't deployed this weapon yet. That's who he assembled here. A bunch of people who care. And when Susie organized the trip to the veterans, all of a sudden we're starting to see that we make a difference. When June goes up and starts singing and the veterans are crying, when you're standing around somebody who's been in a war and you hear the national anthem and you see them either stand up and salute the flag, and that means something, or they spin around in their wheelchair, or whatever else they can do, and it means something. That's a whole different experience than going to a high school basketball game and seeing a bunch of punk kids talking through the national anthem. Not on my watch. Not on my watch, they don't. No, not on my watch. Because these people have lived something that... The Star Spangled Banner is something that they have lived. And when they salute the flag, they're saluting something that they love. And when they put their lives on the line, they were defending something that they loved, freedom. And we get to use prayer to give back to them what they've given to us. And we never asked them to do it, and they did it anyway. And we get to give back to them. God has given us an unbelievable life, and he has surrounded us with imperfect people that are always there. So if you knew you had divine omnipotence, what would you spend it on? Because you do have divine omnipotence. What are you spending it on? I know for a fact that a lot of you here have spent it on getting your pastor back on the golf course. Because from the second day, you know, I got 165 degrees of motion back, no strength. But from the second day that I came out of a rotator cuff surgery, I have not needed medication. And I have not experienced pain. You think I'm stupid enough to think that that has something to do with me? You did that. Your prayers did that. I know how that happened. So I'm asking you. When's the last time you had a talk with God? Because that's what prayer is. When's the last time you had a talk with God? When you feel your load's too heavy, do you go to Him with it? Because He wants to hear it. He wants to show you how He is willing to put the same divine omnipotence that sustained Him at the cross and that resurrected Him from the dead at your disposal to handle your problem when your human solutions have run out, when the medical community's solutions have run out. And we at Barah Ministries have had the privilege of seeing that in action. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I'll read the passage and then we'll go over it. And you'll get a break. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul in prayer. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. What a phenomenal prayer. What a wonderful prayer. Take a 5-minute break and we'll see what it says. Dwelling place, oh Lord Almighty. Welcome back. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, says this, I, Paul, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Your soul has eyes. I, Paul, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Why? So that you will know what is the hope of God the Father's calling. Remember that three steps that I talked about? You were elected and predestined. He called you. He justified you. He's going to glorify you in the future. Paul wants you to know what is the absolute confidence that comes from your respond to the call. You responded to the call, and now you should have absolute confidence in something. One of the most important things for you to have hope in is that he's coming back, as he said. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and get you. So I, Paul, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll know what is the hope of God the Father's calling and what are the glorious riches of his inheritance in the person of the saints. You are an inheritance to God the Father. And he is ecstatic about that. The glorious riches of his inheritance in the person of the saints, Ephesians 1:19. And what is the surpassing greatness of God the Father's power directed toward us who believe? He is the source, and you are the intended recipients of his divine power. These glorious riches are in accordance with the working of the strength of God the Father's might. In God the Father, your glorious Father, the only Father that you should ever be concerned about. This glorious Father of yours has might, divine omnipotence. And this glorious Father of yours is on your side, bringing that into play for you. Ephesians 1:20, which God the Father brought about through our union with Christ, when God the Father raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead and seated the Lord Jesus Christ at his right hand in the heavenly places. And because you're in union with Christ, believers in Christ, you are also right now positionally seated at the right hand of God the Father. Ephesians 1:21. This Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand and now placed far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this church age, but in the ages to come. That's who we worship, this God who is above all authority, above all power, above all kingdoms, dominions, and above every name that is named. That's who we're in union with. See, knowing these things, we are indeed enlightened concerning the magnificent destiny that our Father has planned for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul's prayer came through. My prayer is that the eyes of your soul may be enlightened. And so we are through this knowledge. So one of the important things to pray for is guidance. You see, when you look at prayer from behind God's eyes, what does he want you to do with prayer? He wants you to use prayer for guidance so that you will never think fallaciously that you are somehow self-sufficient. You are not self-sufficient. God could turn off your breathing like that, and where would you be? And isn't that funny? Breathing is a voluntary system. You can't even turn off your own breathing. But God could turn off your breathing in a split second. You aren't self-sufficient. You're deluded. What do we pray for? We pray for strength. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, another of Paul's prayers. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. What does he say? He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. What is that saying? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I, Paul, bow my knees before God the Father. One of the ways that you can pray is on your knees. You can pray standing up, you can pray laying down, you can pray standing on one foot. Ephesians 3:15, from whom every family in heaven, the angelic creatures, and every family on earth, human creatures, derives its name. You would not even have a name were it not for God. Ephesians 3:16, that God the Father would grant you, believers in Christ, according to God the Father's glorious riches, out of his, that he would grant you out of his riches to be strengthened with divine power through God the Father's Holy Spirit in the inner man. All right, so what happened? You pray. What does God the Father do? He goes into his glorious riches and grants you divine power that is administered through the indwelling God the Holy Spirit that is in your inner man, indwelling you. We were worried about the filling of the Spirit. Are you kidding me? What about the indwelling of the Spirit? What about the Spirit that indwells you, that is administering divine omnipotence on your behalf, while simultaneously praying to God on your behalf through the will of God when you don't know how to pray as you ought? Look at the amazing things that our God is doing for us. And we thought we had to help. We can't help. But we can't help it thinking that is the coolest thing that's ever happened anywhere, anytime. That our God, the Holy Spirit, is doing that for us because God the Father, the mind meld happened and God the Father asked him to. Becoming strengthened is Paul's prayer. And what does he mean? That we might overcome resistance through the divine power that is given to us by God the Holy Spirit. Paul's prayer is that we might overcome resistance through the divine power that is given to us by God the Holy Spirit. Do we do it? Philippians 4:13 says we can. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Therefore, Paul's prayer is answered again. Believers in Christ do have the power to resist in the evil day. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. We believers are to use that divine power to be sober of spirit and to be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm, stabilized by your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brother and other believers in Christ who are in the world. Back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, so that the Lord Jesus Christ may indwell in your hearts through faith. A throwaway verse. But if you pay attention, what does it really say? It says that we have a power indwelling us, so that the Lord Jesus Christ may indwell in your hearts through faith. We have a power indwelling us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, you believers in Christ, to whom God the Father willed to make known the glorious riches of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ indwelling you, the hope of glory. You have an absolute confidence that you will be glorified because Christ indwelling you In the future, you will be conformed to the image of Christ. Why? Because Christ indwelling you. The dispensation of the mystery is all about Christ indwelling you. The church age is about you being a part of all things, being summed up in Christ. Unbelievable. The benefits that we have. We're going to focus on sin and miss this. Miss Christ indwelling you? No, we're not. No, we're not. Ephesians verse 3, chapter 3, verse 17, the second half, that you, having been rooted by God like a plant, and having been grounded by God like the foundation of a building, placed into the sphere of unconditional love in the past, with the result that you stay in that sphere from now on and can never get out, may be able to comprehend with all the strength, all the saints, what? How wide, how long, how high, how deep God's unconditional love is for us. That's what a sphere is. It completely surrounds you. It takes care of width, height, length, and depth. You are completely surrounded by God's unconditional love. What does that mean? That means believer or unbeliever, God loves you unconditionally. And the part that you should know is no conditions. What does that mean? That you cannot do anything to make God love you more than he does right now. And you cannot do anything to make God love you less than he does right now. And you cannot change his love for you by anything that you do ever. You are in the sphere of the love of God. You don't believe it? Check your breathing. Check your breathing. It's a free gift. He doesn't have to do that for you. You think he doesn't love you? Check your breathing. It's all you have to do. Every morning when you wake up, when you hear that sound, you know one thing and one thing only. You are loved unconditionally by God. And there is nothing you can do to improve it. That is amazing. And so my question for you is this. If Paul wants you to comprehend, can you comprehend that? Are you enlightened by that? Do the eyes of your soul see that? Ephesians 3:19, and to know through experience, not through knowledge, the unconditional love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Experience surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. What does it mean to be filled up to all the fullness of God? It means you're happy. Do you know what that's like when you're happy? I asked somebody that last night. Explain what it's like when you're happy. Everything is just going fine. And whether I'm under pressure, everything's going fine. If I'm in prosperity, everything's going fine. If I find out I'm dying, everything's going fine. Happy. When we know Christ, we know his unconditional love for us, and we are amazed. For this unconditional love is the source of our strength, and we are the intended recipients of it. So, what is it that we are to expect as a result of our prayers? Because we've been talking about prayer. You know, pray for strength, stability, that would lead us not into temptation. Guidance, show us the direction to go. Give us the strength. Help us in times of trouble. What are we to expect from our prayers? Because let's face it, we as human beings, we expect. I'm praying, I expect. What are we to expect? Ephesians 3:20 and 21 tell us we are to expect. Now to him, God the Father, who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That's what you should expect. You should not expect just what you ask for. You should expect far more abundantly than anything you ask or think. Why? Because of the power that dwells in you. What power? Divine omnipotence. Christ indwelling you, the hope of glory. And when you realize that, when you comprehend it, when you're enlightened by it, you have no choice but to think this: to him, God the Father, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You have no other choice but to think that. What you are to expect when you pray is all, and that's it. What you are to expect when you pray is that your God is going to come through for you every single time. That's what you're to expect. And you are not to doubt. You are not to be like the surf in the sea, blown about by every wind. You are to expect that he will deliver you every single time, because he will. He promises. And he is not going to start with you breaking his promise. And so we have confidence. When we pray for guidance, when we pray for enlightenment, God responds with an enabling divine power that cannot be defeated. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You, believers in Christ, are from God the Father, little children, you believers in Christ. And you have overcome the world. Why? Because greater is he who is indwelling you than he who is in the world. Greater is he indwelling you than he who is in the world. So what can you expect when you pray? Victory. Every time. It's almost like you went to USC. You ever see the little victory chant they're always holding their hands? You didn't even know what that was, Mike, did you? You know, it's and they're victory. They're Trojans. The Trojans won a lot. Victory. Did they win last night? They did. They beat Stanford. See, that's what I'm saying. They were not going to win that game, but God knew I was going to be using this today. And he went, So here's my final question for you to consider for the week. Why is God so interested in your victory and in your deliverance? Why is God so interested? I don't believe you heard me, so write it down. Lean forward, pick up a pen, write it down. Why is God so interested in your deliverance and in your victory? June, wake up. Come on up here. Tell him why. Why is God so interested in your deliverance and in your victory? June's going to tell you why. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because God considers your problems to be his responsibility. He cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, the reason that you're so interested in our victory and our deliverance is that we are your property. We are your possession. Thank you for making us a possession. Thank you for the promise of glorifying us. Thank you for conforming us to the image of your Son, because we know that you, who began a divine good work in us, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I pray that you open our hearts to the truth. I pray that you open our hearts to the magnificence of the gifts that you've given us. I hope that you help us to take advantage of this so great salvation that we have and all the gifts that you've piled up under our living Christmas tree, our person, because we're your property. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And thank you for fulfilling that prayer that we've been praying for years, that you would do exactly that, because you've done what you promised. We ask for your continued blessings and guidance through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.